Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 131. I have here with me Hunter Ginn, as ever. And this one is about, in fact, I think I can speak for you, Hunter. It's about the only one we have never looked forward to doing. We do not look forward to recording this episode. We do not look forward to talking about what we have to talk about. But what we're doing with this episode, we're going to push the Slow, Deep, and Hard Typo Negative album survey off until the next episode because a very, very, very dear friend of ours passed away last weekend. His name was Tom Haley. He hailed from Hickory. I think he had history in Lenoir. So he's a North Carolina boy. I met Tom in the mid-90s, and he died at the age of 52 last weekend from a heart attack. And that is so shocking to everyone who knew him. And Hunter and I knew Tom. And, you know, Hunter and I have never lived in the same town. Tom and I never lived in the same town. But I think with a little bit of work, when you are, I'll say it, deeply attracted to somebody. And I don't mean, of course, romantically or anything. It's just when you find a brother, when you find somebody you know gets you and you get them and you respect them in every way, and you just have an easy rapport, you work on that friendship. So that's what Hunter and I have done, right? You and I have gone, you know, traveled many, many hours, many, many times to see each other and spend good time.
And we'll continue to do so.
We will continue to do so. And this kind of episode makes me want to do so even more with the loved ones I have that are far away. And Tom was not too far away from me. I met Tom in the mid-90s. I was at Relapse Records. He was a North Carolina kid from Raleigh coming up with his friend John to, I believe, buy a ton of stuff because I think they were starting their distro then. They had a small metal distro at that time. And if I'm confusing the timeline for Tom's family and friends who know better, then I apologize. But he came up, and I instantly loved this guy. Like, for one, we talked about Die Kreuzen, which became the triumvirate of bands we realized that we were always talking about every time we got together. The other two are Trouble and Confessor. And of course, I had all kinds of questions for him at the time because I'd never been, you know, I'd never lived in North Carolina. That time had not come for me yet in my life. And so I was, of course, drilling him about Confessor and, you know, did you know the guys? You know, they were like gods to me. They still are. But that's when I met him. And, you know, he was considered kind of a part of the Relapse family before he even started working at Relapse, which was after I left Relapse and was at Maniacs. So we had a little bit of cross-sectioning there. And we stayed in touch all through the years. And then when I moved down to Virginia in 2001, I had a lot more opportunities to see Tom because he was just about 2 hours away in Raleigh. And then 10 years after that, I moved to Greensboro, and we were only an hour away. So we would see each other at a lot of shows. We'd just get together for food because, you know, I know Hunter well, and Hunter loves his food. And there's probably not many more people on the planet that love food as much as Hunter and appreciates the work that goes into it. But Tom Haley was also one of those people.
Yeah. I think Tom's original handle on Instagram was Foodified.
It was. Yes, it was. I think I believe that was still his email address too.
Okay.
With some numbers after it, but Foodified. He also had, oh, Tom, we're just going to talk about Tom tonight. We're going to drop in some music. This is our little memorial to him, and there will be others. I've heard tell that there's a Raleigh brewery making a beer in his name, which is incredible. We can talk about that in a second because he knew his beer as well. And I'm also, by the way, drinking a Hoppium IPA tonight. I know you don't drink, Hunter, but Tom's go-to beer was a simple IPA by a Winston-Salem brewery called Foothills. And I'm having a Hoppium in his honor tonight as we speak.
I was at Foothill when I did and was in grad school there. I was at Foothills the week it opened, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And in fact, we used to go a lot. So like Dorothy and I and our group, we would go over there.
Yeah. So Foothills was
used to post up for the sexual chocolate, I remember.
I used to be a beer nerd in the sense of trading beers through the mail with people all over the world, mostly the US. And I would go to get sexual chocolate bottles, and because they would limit them to like, I think, 3 or 4 bottles per person. And you'd line up, and yeah, it was just a big day. Anyhow, to kind of get back to what I was saying, like, Tom really loved food. And my favorite and a very long standing voicemail message, outgoing message he had for people who would call him was this: "You've reached Tom Haley. I'm either sleeping, eating, or sleep eating." And it's one of the things that defines his sense of humor. I just love that. And I loved his delivery. The guy was
Oh,
a
he was
real,
hilarious.
very hilarious, dry wit, sarcastic. Some people would call him curmudgeonly, but this was just, I'm not even gonna say, it wasn't an act. But he could be a curmudgeon, and that's what we loved about him. He was this lovable curmudgeon at times. But also, I'm just going everywhere with this, Hunter, and I'm sorry, I feel like I'm directionless, but I got to get it out. He also loved animals to an incredible degree, and that showed in his diet. He was vegetarian for a long time, and then a few years ago went vegan. He and his wife, Kathy. And I've seen Kathy once since his passing. I went down there on Tuesday with my wife, Adrienne, and she's naturally distraught. But she and Tom, they would adopt only animals, only cats that were otherwise completely unadoptable. I'm talking like serious disability type animals. And they would spend the money and time, especially time and care and patience for these animals that. Sorry. It was just so heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time when I go down there and see these beautiful creatures that they've given a great life to. Just such a great life and love. And being a cat person myself, I was just always just really, really blown away by that. And I want to mention now, I think this is a good time, Hunter, to mention that we're going to post a link to Clover Cat Rescue, which is a cat rescue very close and dear to my heart and my history. That's where they got a lot of their cats. When they needed one, they would call up Tanya and they would say, "Hey, we have a vacancy. What have you got?" And she would look for the most unadoptable cat that she could, and one that would normally just be put down at at the shelter or whatever. And they would save that life together. And that's it's another great thing I loved about Tom so much. So he was a well-rounded human being, but I think like you, Hunter, your best friends tend to be ones that are just as deeply obsessed with music as you are. And Tom was no exception, right?
Oh, far from it.
You,
Yeah.
I want you to tell the story of the example, maybe right now, of how obsessed he could be with, say, a band or a song, or you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, this is one of the last times I hung out with him a few years ago at your place, and we were kind of in the middle of a film, like at a point where we were all paying, well, Jeff and I particularly, were paying close attention to where things were going in this film. And Tom just looks over and he goes, "You know, I think my favorite thrash song ever is Forbidden Evil."
He did. And like, we talked about Forbidden amongst ourselves many times. I knew he loved Forbidden. And I guess it may have been news to me that Forbidden Evil by Forbidden was his favorite thrash metal song. But to hear it told to us in the middle of a movie was about the most random thing. And we didn't know how to respond. I think you and I didn't really want to get into that conversation because then that opens up a can of worms of like, oh, now we're talking about music for 2 hours, right? We went back to the movie. Incidentally, the movie was Dragged Across Concrete by our good friend S. Craig Zahler. I had not seen it yet. None of us had. So we sat down with great enthusiasm to watch it. And yeah, that was Tom. That was Tom's passion. I remember you were at this show too, the first Confessor reunion show they did in Raleigh at the Lincoln Theater.
That's the night I met Tom for the first time.
And oh, that's the night you met Tom. What are your recollections?
Actually, very curmudgeonly that night. And he just like ribbed on me most of the night. Even though I could tell he sort of liked me, but he just kept fucking with me. And we were hanging outside after the show talking about De Kreutzen. And I remember Penn Rawlings from Breadwinner and Loincloth being there, and he was wearing nothing but like jeans and a vest, like a
Oh, wasn't it
leather
like
vest,
a black leather vest and
black
like
leather vest. And they were arguing about De Kreutzen versus Oktoberfile, and we started talking about Confessor offshoot bands or something, and I called Flywheel Flyleaf. And I remember he looked at somebody, he goes, "Who invited this guy?"
yeah, that's Tom. Yeah, that's great. I remember. Of course. I mean, Tom was the kind of De Kreutzen fan like you are, Hunter, who stood for and loved deeply all four albums. Like we were in, and there's two different kinds of De Kreutzen fans in the world. There's that kind who likes the entire catalog, and then there's the kind like Penn Rawlings who likes just the first album. And we were having that discussion that night, and it would never cease to amaze us. Tom and I would walk away from a conversation like that going, man, that's just so wrong. And I know he traveled. I was at Roadburn 2012. He went the next year, 2013, when De Kreutzen played one of their few reunion shows. And I think that was probably the biggest draw for him and the reason he went over. But yeah, big fan of De Kreutzen. We have discussed them so much together. I remember one time staying up late before, I think while he was dating Kathy, but before they were living together, we were at a place he lived in Cary, North Carolina, kind of a, I guess we'll call it a suburb of Raleigh. And we stayed up probably till about 2:30 a.m. watching all of his De Kreutzen VHS tapes. This is kind of before YouTube.
Nice.
And yeah, that was a good bonding experience as well. At that Confessor show, like I was so happy. I was down front and I mean, you can attest to this, Hunter. They played so well. I mean, absolutely crushing, destroying
It
show.
was crushing.
It was unbelievable. I was feeling it so hard. I was down in front, just screaming the lyrics and just getting into it, headbanging. And Tom was to my left. And Tom, at some point during a song, looked over at me. He goes, "You look so happy." And I said, "I am." And we kind of like embraced, and then the bro thing, and then got back into the show. It was just again a fun moment with Tom. He recently, God, this is kind of haunting, but one of the last texts I got from him, and I'm going to read this text. Of course, I'll never. Looking at this chain is strange. He told me a joke that I'm going to retell. And then he's the last text I ever got from him. It was the same weekend you and him had been texting about something, but his text was about a band called Plaid Retina and an album called What I Can't Have. I don't know this one, and I asked him if I should check it out, but I never got a response. And I guess we know why. Do you know anything about Plaid Retina?
I do not. I do not.
Yeah, I
And
think we'll.
Tom kept his ear to the ground for new stuff, pretty well.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know how new they are. I think they look like the link he sent me looks old. I'm gonna check into them, but
Okay.
this is what Tom said. He said, "I was listening to the Pixies and Plaid Retina was just sitting there next to them, so I had to dust off this old chestnut." And he said, "Amazing how they were like, we're going to seamlessly go from Hatross to Outer Limits and back, and it's just so lovingly done." So of course, I'm intrigued with that Voivod comparison. He was a huge Voivod fan, but this last text, he also included a joke that I haven't told you, Hunter, that ties into Confessor. Just a little background on this little joke. The Steve Shelton he references is the drummer for Confessor. So he says, "I used to know a person who bought weed from Steve Shelton. Funny thing is, you could never just buy a quarter. You had to get like a 3/8." This was my last communication with Tom. probably be looking through all that thread just to remember some of our text conversations. It's all I have of Tom anymore. And it's such a stark reminder of how short and temporary this all is. You know, and I've been reminded of that way too much in the last 7 months, but I love Tom. I love him dearly. You and he shared a love of post-punk that, you know, it's obviously it's something I've been getting into more and more over the years, especially with the Intrigue compilation, which we did a series of shows on. Do you want to talk a little bit more about your connection? And you and him could talk Kent, for instance. You could talk a
Well,
good
really,
game.
yeah, I would say more like indie rock, dream pop, shoegaze. That was where Tom and I really like hit our stride in
Sure.
our friendship.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And yeah, Kent was a big part of that. So the second reunion, Confessor reunion show was the next year in 2003, and you had that injury. I think it was horse related.
It was. I had a horse really. I had an air cast on.
And so you were not able to walk around a whole lot, and I think you and Tanya were waiting on Confessor. So between the I forgot who opened, but between the opening band and Confessor, Tim Hammond, our good friend, and Tom and I went out to Tom's car and just he played me a Chameleon Script of the Bridge for the first time. And I remember he had an advance of Viva Emptiness, but I remember the three of us talking at length about My Vitriol, whose one album Fine Lines is it was one of my favorite albums of that decade, and Kent, and we're both really into this post-rock band from San Francisco called Tarantelle. Who I think Tom almost signed a Relapse at one point, I think. But yeah, it was that guy. We were both huge, Smiths, Morrissey fans. But it was, we liked a lot of the same metal, obviously. In fact, I remember you telling me about Tom, and you were like, yeah, Tom has two things that he really loves: Swedish death metal and shoegaze. And I was like, I have to meet this guy.
I mean, if you boiled him down, which I don't like to do with anybody's
No, and he his
taste,
interests were much broader than that.
but at least sort of gives you a sense of the scope and and it just also communicates to you like, oh, this is a person like us, right? What I found interesting about Tom was he liked a lot of different, I would say, experimental stuff or just out there left field things, even things that are progressive. I mean, I know that my Fate's Warning book got him further into Fate's Warning. He had been into some of it, Awaken the Guardian and things, but he flipped over parallels. He was able to get into some progressive stuff, but with the heavier stuff, the Death, Carcass, I mean, you keep naming it Obituary, he would rarely go past the second albums.
Oh
Like
yeah. Yeah,
it
yeah.
was always like Necroticism isn't as good as the first two. Death's Human he didn't like Spiritual
I don't think
Healing.
he liked Spiritual Healing. Yeah, no, he liked yeah, he's a Leprosy and Scream guy.
But it I never held that against him. I just always found it a cool quirk and just he was purist in a way with a lot of that sort of stuff. And then he'd surprise you with liking something that was pretty far out of left field as well.
He
So,
would, but he loved like early Spawn of Possession. He loved Necrophagist.
yes.
And so like it could be technical maybe, but it had to be super, super brutal as well.
You also like that band Too,
Oh,
Tooh. Yeah, I remember him playing some of that for me. He was very much into a lot of Czech stuff. I think he may have been behind Czech
Oh, the
Assault when
Czech
he was at
Assault. He was, yeah.
when he
He
was
was
at
also
Relapse.
behind Brazilian Assault, I think.
Now, here's what's interesting. Tom was a listener to Radical Research. And if in a weird world, if Tom could hear us now, he would recognize that we are probably the only podcast that's ever mentioned Czech Assault compilation 2 episodes in a row. Because somehow that came up with the Oblivion. You were talking about how you were kind of like buying everything you could in like 2000, 2001, like Bynum and
Oh,
all the. And
yeah.
you brought up the Polish and Czech Assault, I think. So there you go, Tom. Czech Assault's all for you. I just love talking with Tom about music. I made a Facebook post when this happened on the Radical Research page, and I mentioned, of course, the cat thing and just simply the sadness of his passing. And I still can't believe it. It's still hard for me to imagine a world without Tom Haley in it. Too young, but I mentioned that he was one of my favorite people to discuss music with, and the bands I listed just off top of my head were the Triumvirate, of course, Die Kreuz and Trouble, and Voivod. Actually, Confessor would sometimes be in there too, so I think it was maybe more of a foursome. These bands we always hit. It was those four. It was Judas Priest. It was the Chameleons. Everything, Everything, a band I adore that he turned me on to. I wouldn't know them without Tom. Thin Lizzy, Nuclear Death, Fate's Warning, Blasphemy, Morrissey, Crimson Glory, Dokken, Morbid Angel, Hawkwind, Split Enz, The Champs, another band he turned me on to, The Fucking Champs, Kiss, Bathory, and more. Some of those I got him into. He always snubbed his nose at Kiss, and then he started checking out some of the 80s stuff and actually admitted to kind of liking some of it. And he gave Bruce Kulick props for being a really good guitarist. I got him deeply, and this is one of the proudest moments as a music evangelist for myself, was getting him deeply into Split Enz. I made him a compilation CD once, and I was like, this sounds like a band Tom would like, just knowing what he likes. And sure enough, he went ape shit for it. I'd say the two significant bands he turned me on to the most are The Champs and Everything, Everything. I'm a huge fan of both these bands, and I wouldn't be probably interested in them without Tom's recommendation,
I
perhaps.
somehow did not know that he got you into. So he was, I guess he knew them, sort of through that relapse world and then
Who's
turned.
that? Who's that? Champs?
Champs, yeah.
Oh yeah, I told the story on the Champs episode you and I did, but I mean I don't expect you to remember
Been a
everything
long
we
time
do
ago.
and no, and everything I say,
Yeah,
but.
frankly, I don't listen a lot of times when you talk. So.
Okay, now there's some Tom Haley humor coming in right there. He would have done it even drier though. No, I was at Maniacs at the time and we knew each other. He knew my tastes and he said, dude, listen to this. And he sent me a CD copy of Three, and it's been love ever since. I think he was kind of partially responsible for turning me onto the Chameleons. It was more through your recommendation, but he basically turned you on to Script of the Bridge.
Oh,
So
totally.
there you go. Very happy about that as well. Chameleons, Script of the Bridge is becoming a favorite album of mine from that whole era. I know he was a big Kent fan. I think he was into Sigur Rós. Sigur Rós, how do you say that?
Yeah, at least the first two albums. Now I'm thinking about other things that he turned me on to, like Black Heart Procession, who I love dearly.
Wait, what is that?
It's kind of a really dark Nick Cave-ish sort of band from San Diego. But I
Okay.
used to Release used to do, or the yeah that was the That was the periodical that Relapse put out, right? That's what it was called. Release,
Resound,
Resound.
resound.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
He would post playlist in there. The staff would, and always really picked up on his stuff. Idlewild. I don't know if I mentioned them. Huge band for me and Tom, the Scottish post-punk indie rock band.
Sure.
But yeah, it goes on and on.
Yeah, unfortunately, life does not.
Yeah.
When Kathy called me with the news, it was just more sobbing and more death in my life, and it's something we all have to deal with. It's something we all have to face. It's coming for us as well, and it's just I guess we just have to honor each other, not only in the passing of a particular person or animal, but while we live. It's a reminder to maybe just not sweat the small stuff. And thankfully, with Tom, we never had a crossword between us. It was just always good times. And he was, I want to say this, he was incredibly empathetic after the fire that my wife and I and our animals experienced. He and Kathy came to the hotel we were staying in like just days later and gave us gifts of snacks and a, this is still hard to talk about. Bluetooth speaker, he knew it was important to me, so I needed something like that. He gave me some Beharit vinyl, some Zisma vinyl, and just gave us hugs and gave us love, and sat with Cora, who was still alive then. She passed about 30 days after that. Sat with Minnie, our surviving cat. Sat with Toki, who has since passed. He passed late May from old age. And I don't think it's anything Adrian and I will soon forget in terms of their coming to see us. It's making a special day to take out of whatever they were doing and come see us. And I'd do the same for him. And that's just true friendship. Looking the person in the eyes and saying, "I love you." Tom could do that with me, and I'm glad I got to that point with him. And I know a lot of other people, even just the Relapse family, are going to miss him. Pellet, my good friend Sean Pelletier, Pellethead, was very close to Tom. Matt Jacobson, the co-founder of Relapse, were he and Tom were incredibly close, and still, Tom would go out and visit Matt wherever he was at periodically. Many more people. It's just It's really quite unbelievable. I want to remind everybody that
Yes.
in the show notes, we will have a link to Clovercat Rescue if you'd like to give a little bit of money to what is a really, really effective and great cat rescue that Tom and Kathy would adopt from and save animals from. We will include the Clovercat Rescue link in our show notes. We encourage you to give just 5 or 10 bucks if you can in Tom's name. And that's it. I don't really have much more to say. Is there anything else that you want to say about Tom before we sign off?
Well, like you said, it's hard to it still doesn't feel real. I had a really wonderful last exchange with Tom, and it's one of those things I think will mean more to me even later than it does now.
After this happened, you read that to me, and it was something that you were, telling Tom how you felt about him. Just no real reason other than brotherly love, right? I know you don't want to read the text verbatim, and that's fine. I think you should keep it private, but I love that that was at least your last exchange with him was something like that, where he knew he was loved.
Well, and I mean, he, the text, yeah, that's, he would send me stuff, periodically, just the same thing. Like, it's like Kathy and I are on the back porch listening to Swerve Driver, and was just thinking about you. Hope you're well. He was such a sweet, sweet guy too. One of his favorite games was he would look at license plates. And then immediately, he'd looked at them as acronyms, and then would immediately try to come up with something for
Dude,
them.
I think he particularly was trying to come up with hardcore band names. It's fun because you get the three word thing usually, right? I still do that. I'll do that now, thanks to
Know.
Tom. Tom's
Same.
influence. There was also, I guess I can relay this thing too, that Adrian and I went out with Tom and Kathy once to a place near our old house called Boba House. It was a vegetarian restaurant. And Kathy has some medical background. And we got onto this game, basically, that these two f girls who were into music, but not even close to being as knowledgeable or deeply into metal as Tom and I were, they would try to guess a band name. Like, is this a band name? And then you'd look it up on Metal Archives. You'd come up with some ridiculous combination of things I don't know, Grim Surgery or Frosted Grim Surgery, and like half the time it was actually a fucking band from like from Sk you know some demo band from Skokie, Illinois had that name. It was the most fun game, and we got super into it. And with Kathy's medical background, she could come up with these kind of crazy words, and just it was just so much fun. And that's just the kind of nonsense fun we could have together. And I'm just gonna miss him. It's a big hole in my world, and yours too, I know. And we can only just tribute him by talking about him on this episode, playing some snippets of some of the music we talked about that Tom loved, and just carrying his spirit on with us as we go on through life ourselves. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I know this is not the kind of episode you tune into us for, but we had no choice but to talk about the great Tom Haley for a little while. And we appreciate you listening. And if you didn't know him, it's your loss, and that's okay. And if you did know him, I think you'll probably be crying right along with us. So thanks to everybody for listening. And please hit that link for Clovercat Rescue in our show notes. And we'll be back for episode 132 on Typo Negatives, Slow, Deep, and Hard. I love you, Hunter.
Love you.
Please stay with me for a few decades more, okay?
Do the absolute best I can to do that.
Okay, man. Take care, brother.